three, yes! Golden State by three!
This is Clay Thompson from the Golden State Warriors, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Blessing on KOAL 750 AM.
Less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me.
We are back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We are live from the Auto Forum Studios, and it is a very big day, to say the least, as far as college basketball goes. We have some major matchups tonight, some major matchups really throughout the week. College basketball gets rolling in November. Of course, it's all in build-up to March Madness, and joining us right now to talk college hoops, the same man that has been joining us for about the last 5 years, Greg Peterson. He is the co-host of That's Gold Radio Show. It's a podcast, and Greg, of course, does a lot of work as far as bracketology goes throughout the entire year. Greg, I always look forward to talking college hoops with you. Thank you again for the time today.
Well, it's a pleasure to join you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Let's talk about it tonight. Major matchups. You know, for me, college basketball, once we get rolling, the first week may be the most exciting week of the regular season up until about the week before championship play. And when I say championship play, I'm talking about conference tournament action. We get a lot of intriguing matchups the week of.
Oh, yes, we certainly do. Obviously, you take a look at the Champions Classic, the big one is going to be Kentucky going at it against Duke. The two classic one-and-done schools, and then you got Michigan State versus Kansas. Just some big matchups. And then you have a couple more that are a little bit off the radar. Central Florida, a team that could win the American Athletic Conference going up against Rider. I think that that's certainly going to be an intriguing matchup. You've got Gonzaga going up against Idaho State. Gonzaga is a team that I think can actually win the whole thing with Tilly and Kelly, Josh Perkins and company coming back. So you've got a lot of very good teams in action right here from the get-go.
We'll start by talking about Kentucky and Duke, and there's really no other way to describe it than when you're talking Kentucky basketball or Duke basketball, it is a religion. I mean, I think it's that simple. It is a religion. And so, Greg, right out of the gate, we get two squads that are obviously highly touted. I can't wait to watch Zion Williamson finally play. I know that's something that a lot of people have been talking about for the last couple of years. This is going to be a very interesting game. We're talking about R.J. Barrett, Zion Williamson, and Cam Reddish, potentially the top three players in next year's draft. This is awesome. This is going to be fantastic stuff.
I completely agree with you, and how funny is it that we're talking about Kentucky being the veteran squad? I mean, they bring in Reed Travis, a graduate transfer from Stanford. I think he had more points and rebounds last year than the entire returning roster of Duke combined, because, I mean, Duke's top player that's back from last year is Marquise Bolden, who had 3.9 points and 3.6 rebounds per game. So you take a look at it, Duke is just full of young, up-and-coming players. Like you said, the top three players from the ESPN recruiting class of 2018 rankings, so they've obviously got a ton of talent coming in, and Kentucky does as well, but they do bring back that leadership with Reed Travis. They get back PJ Washington. We all remember that he choked at the free throw line against Kansas State in that Sweet 16 game, but with that said, a very good big man. They also have Quade Green, so I mean, I think that this is going to be a great matchup, and I think it favors Kentucky just because they do have guys that have played at the college level. Meanwhile, this is Duke's freshman of Duke's first taste of it.
You know, it's kind of odd. I know you start talking about brackets and start putting together your predictions right after the season. For me, I'm doing the same thing as far as NBA mock drafts go. And Greg, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but again, I think it's very possible Duke has first top three picks in this draft. For Kentucky, I would have to go all the way down to the bottom of the first round with PJ Washington, maybe. Maybe. Borderline first rounder. This is odd to have this conversation with Kentucky. It's just a different John Calipari team.
I agree with you. And then, obviously, I think Green is more of a second-round talent myself, so I'm right there with you. I think that the one player that could crash that Duke top three is Bull Bull at Oregon. This guy is like 7'2", 7'3". I don't know if you watch the exhibition game that he had against Western Kentucky, but the guy was drilling threes. He was having alley-oop dunks. I mean, he is absolutely insane. He's probably my favorite player that's going to be in the 2019 NBA draft. But with that said, Zion Williamson, if he were to enter the NBA right now, he'd be the second heaviest player in the NBA, and yet he's got all that athleticism. I'm very, very excited to see him. Cam Reddish, you mentioned, I really like his game. And then the point guard, the point guard for this team, Trey Jones, I think that he's going to have a good coming out party as well. I felt like he was a little bit underrated by scouts. So all in all, Duke has a lot of good, solid NBA prospects. Meanwhile, Kentucky might actually have the better team in this spot.
You know, we can talk about this particular matchup and how Kentucky is kind of, Duke is reloaded. Kentucky, on the flip side, is a little bit more seasoned. I guess it's the same storyline when we talk about Michigan State going up against Kansas. The Spartans are a little bit more seasoned. Kansas is reloaded. So I kind of compare Kansas and Duke, and I guess you can compare Michigan State and Kentucky in some regard.
I actually have a little bit of a tough time with that because while Kansas is bringing in a lot of new players, they're bringing in a lot of transfers. Remember Charlie Moore from Cal? He had a very good freshman season year of 2016-2017. He is now going to be one of the main guards for Kansas this year. They also bring in the Boston Twins from Memphis. I mean, KJ, I believe, played 1 year at Memphis. Meanwhile, Diedrich played 2 years. So these are all guys that played at the D1 level, but they're just transferring to a new school. So they do have a lot of leadership on that team. And then you have Udoka Azubuike down low. He actually led the nation in field goal percentage last year among qualified players, hitting over 71% of his shots. Really like the way that he plays the game. He is a complete difference maker. Now, if Malik Newman came back, Kansas would have all the pieces to win a national championship. But with that said, all in all, I really like this team, especially with Quentin Grimes running the point for Kansas. This is a team that I think might be one of the most balanced in the country.
You know, I'm surprised you didn't mention one name when talking about Kansas, and that's Devin Dawson.
Dawson is really good, too. I do like him, but I actually like Grimes a little bit more just because I feel like he's going to be – I actually think that he has a higher ceiling. I see him being a potential lottery pick. I think that when ESPN came out with their top 100, he was right around like 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that range, and I honestly think he might be the best point guard in this class.
All right, well, let's talk about Michigan State here for a second because Nick Ward pulled his name from the NBA draft, so he's returning for his junior campaign. You have Cassius Winston as well. He led the Big Ten, if I'm not mistaken, Greg, last year in three-point shooting. So really, just off the top of my head, this Michigan State team, is every bit deserving of a top-10 ranking.
Yeah, and Winston was actually in the top 15 in regards to free-throw shooting percentage as well. And in the top five in the country in three-point shooting percentage, he made over 50% of his threes last year. Now, he's going to be asked to take a couple more threes with Miles Bridges being out of the fold. But with that said, Cassius Winston, he is a sharp shooter. You bring back Ward, and Matt McQuaid is going to play a big role for Michigan State as well. These are not guys that you're going to really see getting drafted very highly in the NBA. Aside from maybe Ward, I think that he could be a little bit like Mo Wagner was last year, a late first-round sort of talent. But with that said, I do think that Michigan State brings back a lot of toughness. We all know that Tom Izzo really coaches his team as the season goes along. He has a very tough non-conference slate for these guys. Typically, they lose a couple games out of conference, and I think that's going to happen when they face off against Kansas. But with that said, I think that the outlook for Michigan State is very bright. As long as they can find that one grinder guy like they had in Tum Tum Naren last year, who is now gone.
Okay, we're being joined right now by Greg Peterson. He is our college basketball insider and the co-host of That's Gold podcast. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Greg, let's talk about the Pac-12. Obviously, with us being a Utah-Ute affiliate, we always put a lot of emphasis on the Pac-12. This season, Washington seems to be a veteran group in this particular conference, and I would expect them to really take a big step forward. Talk to me about the Pac-12 and how you see it shaping out.
I think that there's a lot of teams that can make the NCAA tournament, but are just going to barely get there. I think that UCLA is a team that can take a step forward. Jalen Haynes decided to stay in school for his sophomore year, as did their 6'8" guard as well. That was Wilkes that is staying with them as well. So there's a lot of talent on this UCLA roster. They bring in some top 50 recruits, including the two guys that were suspended along with LiAngelo Ball in that whole shoplifting scandal in China. Those were both top 50 forward recruits. So, I mean, you take a look at UCLA, they've got a lot of depth this year. I think that Oregon is by far the class of this conference. Peyton Pritchard is a point guard that engineered a team that went to the Final Four a couple years ago. You bring in Bol Bol, who I mentioned earlier. Ibrahim Amin comes in from Texas A&M Corpus Christi. He averaged over 18 points per game there before he missed the 2017-2018 season due to injury. Paul White is back. I mean, this is a team that's completely loaded. Kenny Wooten was in the top 15 in regards to blocks per game while averaging less than 20 minutes per game. So Oregon has all the goods. I think that Arizona, even though they have a bunch of cast-offs that didn't play a lot last year, they still have a lot of guys that were in the top 15 in regards to recruiting rankings a few years ago. I think they can make the tournament. And then you do mention Washington. I'm a little bit more bearish on this team just because they really don't have those guys that really stand out. They won a lot of really close games last year. I just don't know if they can duplicate that. But that said, I still think that they're a fringe top 25 team.
How big of a loss is Sharif O'Neill going to be for UCLA?
I think that it's going to be a pretty big loss. But with that said, with all that came into UCLA in regards to getting back the two forwards that were suspended for that China shoplifting incident, is really going to offset that, because I feel like everyone pretty much discounted them because all the focus was on LiAngelo Ball and not on the other two guys. Now you've got just gobs and gobs of forwards that can essentially play in and out for UCLA. This is a team that now has really good size, and it's going to be a matchup nightmare for a lot of teams.
Let's talk about coaches on the hot seat right now. I would assume it's Steve Alford, probably number one at UCLA, especially with the amount of talent that you were talking about. Who are the five coaches that we should probably pay attention to as far as being on the hot seat this year?
Steve Alford obviously is going to be right there at the forefront. I think Steve Wojciechowski over there at Marquette is going to be on the hot seat. If Marquette can't get things going and they miss the NCAA tournament, I think that he could be out of a job in the Big East. And then taking a look at some of these other coaches, there's not a whole heck of a lot that come to mind. They typically come to fruition when a team goes like 5-13 to begin the year. Then it's like, this guy is on the hot seat. But I mean, I think that those two guys are really the two hot-button coaches, because I still remember a couple years ago, Brad Brownell over there at Clemson, he was the one coach I was looking at the hot seat. And then all of a sudden, Clemson put things together. They managed to get into the top 10 at points last season, and they were able to make the NCAA tournament and make the Sweet 16, giving Kansas a good run for their money. So a lot of things can happen. So I'm not going to put too many coaches on the hot seat right now. But with that said, it's going to come out if there's some full starts.
No question. And I don't know if these are high-profile jobs, but I will throw two coaches your way, and you can tell me if you believe their job security is safe or not. Chris Mullin at St. John's. He's got I believe he's 38-61 or something to that sort. He's been terrible in Big East Conference play. And then another one that we pay attention to is Danny Manning at Wake Forest. I mean, we're talking about these guys being in their fourth and fifth seasons, and there really hasn't been a lot of momentum carrying over. Not necessarily high-profile coaching jobs, but definitely high-profile coaches, Greg.
I will throw in there one more as well. How about Richard Pitino over there at Minnesota? I mean, this is a team that was at one point ranked in the top 15 last year. They completely fall off the map after Reggie Lynch gets suspended. He was the nation's leader in blocks per game. And from there, Minnesota went from being a top 15 team to completely going down the toilet bowl, and I think winning four games in the Big Ten. So I certainly think that he's going to be a coach on the hot seat. You mentioned Chris Mullins. This is a do-or-die year for St. John's. I think that they have to find a way just to make the NCAA tournament. I know that Chris Mullins is a St. John's guy, and that's going to buy him some equity. But with that said, it is going to be a little bit of a horse apiece as to what happens with him if St. John's fails to make the NCAA tournament. Though there was one thing that he could blame last year's slow start on, and that was the fact that St. John's was just ravaged by injuries last year. Now that he has Shamari Ponds and company coming back, I think that this should be a different result for the Red Storm.
We'll end with this, Greg. Give me your one player, individual, maybe a little bit under the radar, that you have fallen in love with and you would tell a casual college basketball fan to watch.
Emmett Williams over there at LSU. He was ranked, I believe, number 20 in the ESPN recruiting ranking. He's not a guy that has great athleticism. He's not a guy that's going to wow you. I compare him a lot to Kenneth Reed. The guy is just a grinder. He just goes after rebounds like it's nobody's business. He is absolutely sensational on the glass. He plays tough defense. He gets putbacks. And I like this LSU team in general. Keep an eye also on that same team for Tremont Waters. He's a guy that had a fantastic freshman year. He had something like 18 points and 6 assists per game. I think that he's going to be a star at the next level. I could see him working his way into the first round of the NBA draft. If he can continue to build off of his good freshman year, I think that LSU is a team that could be a dark horse to make the Elite Eight.
Now, let me throw one out there for you that I really, really like, and I'm telling people to pay attention to because I think he could play his way into the first round of the NBA draft. It's Lamont West at West Virginia. I like the kid's size. He's 6'8", somewhere around 240 pounds, and he's a junior. And I know nowadays NBA scouts almost view that as a detriment. The fact that a kid's coming into the draft as a junior or a senior, they typically gravitate to those freshmen or sophomores. But, Greg, I really like this kid, and I think he has a true, true opportunity to play himself into the first round.
I do agree with you as well, and I think that West Virginia actually has another player in Sox Kanate that could do so as well. The guy is just a shot-blocking machine. If he can work on his range a little bit, he's a guy that's right around 6'9", 6'10", that does a little bit of everything for West Virginia. And we know that West Virginia produces very good defenders with that press defense. So I think that there's two potential sleepers out there with the Mountaineers.
I know you and I will be talking a lot more between now and the national championship, but if you had to pick today, who wins it all this year?
I think Gonzaga. You've got Killian Tilly, Josh Perkins, Zach Norvell Jr. is a very good player. And the list of players that this team has goes on and on and on. Parkview has done a fantastic job of recruiting. If I had to pick a team that wins it all right now, it's Gonzaga. And keep an eye on Rui Hachimura as being an NBA prospect as well.
Greg Peterson, again, our college basketball insider. Greg, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
You can find me on Twitter at GUnit_81. And you can download the daily podcast I do with Steve Heitner, which you may remember him as Kenny Banya from the Seinfeld series. That podcast drops every Monday through Friday, and that is on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, all the major places that you get podcasts. You can find it right there.
Greg, it's a pleasure to catch up with you once again. Thank you for the time. I know we'll do it again soon.
Perfect. I always appreciate it. Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return from the Auto Forum Studios.